Yeah. Wow.
You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 103, an abbreviated version. I am Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week, we've got just a couple of random things to talk about. There is a plethora of activity going on the website right now. See all the posts?
I did. I was out of town for the weekend, and I came back, and the post that was at the top when I left was at the bottom when I got back, because there were so many articles.
So there's a lot of positions open. If I'm not mistaken, I could be making things up, but I think these are all things that Charlie does now that he wants to spread the workout a little bit with. But again, I could be making that up. Do you have any interest in any of these positions?
Well, let's see. What do we got? There's the brand manager for 1E and a brand manager for 2E. I remember seeing those titles in the Decipher era.
They used to have brand managers, right?
I was not always entirely sure what that meant. But it was interesting to read the descriptions and see that, because from a cursory glance, it almost looks like there's a lot of overlap between the brand managers and the other two that are open, which is the creative managers for each brand.
It's interesting. I think I'm reading over the creative manager, and that almost looks like someone to go through and check, how it. Not necessarily game mechanics, just how the cards fit. I know we've had problems in the past where, the class of the ship is wrong, or, someone's name will be misspelled, and then a quick revision later, and then you said it'll be out. This person, the creative manager from both sides, should be the person to catch that kind of thing.
So this is more of a Trek sense sort of management, make sure that it fits into the universe as well as the game.
Yeah. And selecting story for, alt AI cards, but very much not a design position, what I mean?
Yeah, because that sounds really interesting, I think. Being able to sort of help fit the cards into the mechanic of the cards into the game, or the game into the mechanics. I know that there was a lot of discussion of that during Make It So.
Sure.
Whether you want to, which way you try to engineer it, whether you start from a concept and then try to find a storyline to fit it, or start from an episode and then try to find a mechanic that makes it fit.
Right. The creative managers would probably have one foot in... memory alpha.
Yeah, seriously.
And one foot on the development board.
Well, now that I know what that is, that sounds really interesting.
and contrary, the brand manager, it kind of strikes me as like a, I don't know, just like a project manager,
Yeah, it really does.
They're saying... telling these people to do this now, and this is when it's due, and moving it over here, and making sure they have the resources matched up, and everything else.
Yeah, so. And that sounds like a really great idea. I know it's right now sort of sounds like, for Tui, it was always just Brad kind of you know, led and
yeah.
everyone followed. and you know, the design, I guess, for one, I'm not entirely sure, but it sounds like, you know, the design, the lead designer sort of does that. And I can see it being, you know, there's it's hard to balance the role of having to be a lead designer and be a project manager at the same time. It sounds like a really good idea to split that up and have a brand manager manage all of the project business and let the designers focus on designing.
Yeah, yeah. Get somebody good at what they're good at and just kind of point people in directions and set them off. What about the fifth?
Yeah, the fifth. There are five.
Yeah. Was the Achievements Master.
See,
this is something you were working on from a player's perspective.
It was.
The Achievement Master.
You know, I looked at that and I was like, oh man, that would be so cool. And it's on the... I constantly am battling this dilemma in most of my creative hobbies is that would be really cool. I would love to do that, but I would rather play in it than be in charge of making sure it happens. Like, I love dungeon mastering, but after a while I'm like, well, you know, I really wish I was playing instead of having to run. And, you know, the achievements, I love the idea of the achievements, and I would love to have a hand in you know, if there needs to be a hand to help make it happen. But I also really enjoy it, and I feel like, I don't know, it would be, I don't know, less fun or weird. You know, I don't know if I would, it would be fair to continue to try and get achievements if I already knew what some of them were.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I'm looking forward to is happening into one of the random achievements by playing some deck that, you know, may qualify for something we just don't know about.
Yeah.
And if you knew what they all were, that would become a lot less fun.
Yeah. And, you know, part of me was like, well, so far a lot of the hidden ones that we've seen or the weird ones that have come up are win with a deck that does X weird thing. And, you know, I really don't have to worry about that very often. you know, the actual winning part, playing with a deck that does something weird, sure. So I don't know. These all look very interesting. I wouldn't mind, helping out, in a larger scale. I'd have to take a look. It's really interesting, reading the applications. If anybody is interested in these, like just cursory glance, and you want to know more, I would actually go ahead and read the application, because the questions they ask give you a really good idea of what you'll be doing. If you look at the achievements application, they have some really cool, like, you know, here's a situation, you know, and you know, why would this be an achievement? Or, you know...
Yeah, are you responsible for one of the questions on here?
It's very possible. a player, you know, feels like they should have gotten an achievement, and they didn't. And I don't know if I became hostile, but we certainly had a
yeah,
long...
Yeah, okay, that might be going a step further.
I would say hostile. I mean, I had strong words, but they were not, you know, I'm coming to your house and beating you up. But, you know, it certainly is a situation that could arise. You know, the bugs, fixing something, you know, how would you approach somebody to tell them they're not going to get an achievement because they shouldn't have got it to begin with because it was a bug? You know, balancing achievements and, you know, it's a really interesting, gives you an insight into what you might be doing if you did get the job. Same with the creative manager, now that I'm looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool questions that really give you an idea. You know, what elements go into a first edition card with a great story?
Yeah.
What elements cause a mismatch between a first edition card and its game text? You know, what makes a great image? You know, what makes a good candidate for a release promo and why? You know, these are the types of things that, that you'd have to, questions you'd have to face in these positions. That's pretty cool.
Was she hardwired? And she got chips. She got the kind of badass body that's built for a 5-year trip. Well, she got orders to boldly go. I gotta open fire and make her make it so. And in our room at night, we expose her strange new worlds. She can be my focus, love slave, all my green skin girls.
Yeah, well, at least with that question, you can look back at all the promos that have come out and kind of get a general idea of what they were going for.
One of them had something like, name a card that you disagreed with the way they approached it or something, and either from a story perspective or from a text perspective or something, and identify what you would have done differently.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's plenty of people on those.
I was going to say, I don't want to cast a negative light on anything, but there's been plenty of things we could have done differently over the last few years.
Well, and there's always, always different takes on how you could fit a card into a story, different stories you could use, or, different mechanics you could use for one story mechanic. So,
yeah, and that matching the story seems like in 2E, it's a lot less important as long as you figure out something cool. To have something exactly match up is not as important as perhaps 1E, where, in 1E, it if it happened in the show, it can happen on a card. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, how about you? These are you kind of got your hands full with the. You run all our tournaments here, and you're the warehouse manager. You think you would?
Yeah, I'm looking at these things as I'm putting together the regional championship promos and thinking, yeah, this is a lot more work than I can do right now. I'd like to pitch in wherever I can. I'd like to do things here and there, but I really, I suppose if this call has gone out and no one responds, that would be bad too. But I don't want to apply for something and then take that away from someone who even at the beginning doesn't look like they might be the best for the job. But since I'm doing so many other things, they would be better than me trying to keep up with everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know that. Well, that's how a lot of delegating got started with. I know there's a lot to do, and right now it sort of seems like if there's something to get done and there, it doesn't fall under anybody's job description, it goes to Charlie.
Right.
And when when Charlie has too much to do, that means we need more jobs and more job descriptions to take those over so that Charlie can continue chairmaning.
Yep. And what do you get if you actually get one of these quote jobs unquote premium membership? I know you'll be added to the continuing committee list, so you'll get a thank you package when we send those out. So that's good stuff.
Cool. And you get to have a hand. I can't imagine. I know you and I talked about this many times, but. Players that played this game from way back, I think we've all at one point or another had at least an inkling of interest in having a hand in guiding the game, whether it was to help design cards or to help promote the game or just do whatever they can, play testing and whatnot. And this is a huge opportunity for people who big Trek fans out there. If you're not as good as a designer that you feel like the Make It So contestants, but you are good at giving people deadlines and trying to keep them on schedule, the brand manager is great for people who have those project management skills and want to help contribute in a way that they're skilled at. Or if you're a huge Trek fan and you know all the episodes and know all the titles and the ship classes and how everything fits together, they're nice variety of opportunities for people to help.
Nothing
out,
else.
So.
Nothing else. So we'll be keeping Charlie sane by taking some of this off of his plate.
Exactly. And it's always happy to have a sane chairman. Less things fly off the rail. I know we try to make sure that Charlie is always supplied with the anti-drugs after we we bring him in and sedate him for questioning, so that he continues to function properly. And you know, it would just be bad if he got
only the best in antidotes for Charlie.
Exactly. You know. Well, speaking of ways to pitch in, before these main positions came out, there was actually a call. There was also a call for ambassadors.
Yes. Now, I was an ambassador for quite a while.
You were.
I never got to, you know, to completely change the subject briefly. When I was with that other game that we did briefly between Star Trek and Continuing Committee?
Yes.
Battlestar Galactica? I was a product champion for them. What was it? Envoy?
Envoy, that is it. That's correct.
Yeah. They would have meetings at like Gen Con, and everyone would come and you get dinner, and that was a really interesting way to do it. I never felt that with volunteering with Cypher, but it could be that I was at a different time and maybe things started out, you know, better than what it ended up with.
Yeah, I think I don't know. WizKids had a much higher level of commercial play, I think, because they had the clicks, which were just huge at the time, and so I think their organized play was a much higher level than Decipher's. As much as we love Star Wars and Star Trek, you know, they were never really at that level. I know when I went and worked for Decipher briefly for Comic-Con, we kind of all went out to dinner. One night, we all paid our own way, but it was nice to get to go and hang out together.
A little camaraderie
amongst the volunteers and product champions. So that was nice, but yeah, I see now when we had the ambassadors, I know that has never really mentioned, since Decipher fell away from the game and the Continuing Committee took over, but I've always just sort of thought of you as our ambassador, being the, you know, the community leader since you took over from Matt, and now they're like, oh well, come apply for ambassadorship.
You know, it's funny, if there was one person in our local group that I would consider an ambassador, it would be our producer, TK, since he travels back and forth between our group and some other group.
That is true. He has sort of reached out towards the Santa Barbara group since they've been developing over the past half year, 9 months or so, and trying to bridge the gap. So that's something interesting. TK, are you looking to do that? Maybe we should have him comment on that sometime in the future.
The other person in the area would be you. I mean, you do the show, but me and Johnny and Matt are all kind of tied to the Continuing Committee already.
Yeah, so, it seems like we have a lot of people who are involved. So yeah, I mean, maybe we should look at TK and see if he wants to do that. I you know, I was a squadron member,
right.
I believe is the correct term. It's been so long. I actually stopped volunteering when I tried to switch over to Star Trek to be an ambassador, and I guess the program was going down soon anyway, so they just were like, okay, we're done.
Did they even try to roll you into being a D-agent or something like that?
No. All right, thanks. We have a community already, and as you say, we are already highly involved locally. We did get one new player in the past year, which was nice. But maybe I think you're right. I think TK is an excellent candidate reaching out to the greater SoCal area.
Well, I think he's either him or one of the Santa Barbara people, perhaps. Maybe
yes.
Even maybe Chris would be a good candidate. I'm not sure.
I agree.
We need to have him on the show. We ought to do that.
We should. I think it's a scheduling issue right now. We're kind of doing this one last minute since I just got back to Ryza.
Right. You have returned.
The midnight shuttle, and then I'm leaving again quite soon. So one of these days when we have more airtime, we're gonna have some guests on and talk to some people. And maybe we can ask him about that, how Chris feels about being a Santa Barbara ambassador. Put you on the spot, Chris. I'm sure he's going to want to come on now. Never mind.
Very good. Is there anything else on our list? I know we're running short on time.
We are. I would like to say one thing. I did get a follow-up to our tournament report from the Iowa. They were running the, as you recall, the 2E version of a Return to Farpoint series.
That's right, yes.
By Mike, let's see, now I butchered his name before and he corrected me, so I want to get it right. It's Oshogi. Mike Oshogi.
Shogi.
Oshogi. Guy. Gi. No, that's right. Gi. Oshogi. He pronounced it phonetically for me. They had the Necessary Evil tournament in, or it's coming up in March, but I wanted to see if you could guess what card from the first four sets they banned. They took a vote. They all voted on one card that nobody could use, and it was almost unanimous.
Unanimous, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'd have to say probably Klingon Riker. That seemed to be the most popular and powerful of the cards at the time.
He is very good, but he is for only one affiliation. I'll give you one more guess, and I'll let you know. This is somebody who can work with anyone, and it is a personnel.
Non-aligned personnel. Boy, it's been too long. I don't. What do you got?
Goval. Follower
of course,
one.
Of course. I should
yes.
have thought of Jeff.
And, oh, damn. Players here. Damn, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
But yes, they voted almost unanimously to ban Goval, Follower the One, one of the cheesiest cards ever created. Lots of abuse. So they cleared that out. And Mike actually won the premier tourney. And Michael Van Bremen won the Energize tournament. Greg Bloom won the Call to Arms tournament, which was actually his first tournament win. So that was a good, cool
nice.
Thing to roll into that tournament series. And then they're going to go into the Necessary Evil / 10th Anniversary Fractured Time Reflections boutique
right.
roll together. That'll be in April. So good luck with that, guys. And good luck with your raffle, and we look forward to seeing how those come out.
Yeah, love to see some more results from that. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, with that, I believe we are at the end of the line.
Yeah, we have a report of all of our intelligence this week, but we are definitely going to come back and have some more for you. I think we don't have a tournament this week, but following week, I'm sure we'll find something to talk about. Thanks to all
we
of
usually
you.
Do.
We usually do. But in the meantime, I'll thank TK for putting the show together, our possible ambassador of San Diego, and Warp 11, our musical sponsor. And I am Sir Rogue.
And I am still Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And 103 to end. That's a lot of cards.
It is. One of that is.
Thanks.
All right, perfect timing.